hello. Welcome to our third week of reviews. So you already know how this works. We are going to look back at some sentences from our last five units and remember some important details of the structures that we saw. Okay, so you guys are now in wave two. So great work. And since we are in wave two, most of our class is going to be in English. Okay, I'm only going to give translations if it's really necessary. All right, guys. So let's get started. Our first sentence is, we have very strong customer retention. We not only have good products, but our customer support is also way ahead of the competition. So let's see the pronunciation one more time. We have very strong customer retention. We not only have good products, but our customer support is also way ahead of the competition. So be careful with the pronunciation of retention, retention. We not only have good products, be careful you don't say products, it's products, but our customer support is also way ahead of the competition. So first thing here is the structure in not only, but also. So when you are saying that you did something or something happened, and you want to add another important detail there. So we use the structure like we add an auxiliary. Not only did I, for example, write the report, I also sent it to the board. So not only did I write, but I went beyond and I already sent it to the board. The structure is always like that. We can do it with did. You can say, not only can I visit the clients, I can also close our deal. So we all always have that inversion in the first part. And then the second is just, I can also, and the rest of the sentence, okay? And notice here that when I have a modal, it comes before also, okay? So let's see the first one again. Not only did I write the report, so we add the auxiliary and then the rest of the sentence, I also sent it to the board. And the second one, not only can I visit the clients, I can also close our deal. So I'm making an addition to what I said before, and I always add the auxiliary or the modal first, okay, in the first part of the sentence. Not only can I visit the clients. Okay, and another important thing here is way as an intensifier. So way bigger, way ahead. So way ahead means that you are in front of the competition, way ahead of the competition. Ahead is in the front of something. We use bigger with comparatives. So our current project is way bigger. So I'm intensifying the bigger. I usually use way before adjectives, okay? But way ahead is a pair of words that is very common, okay? So we can use way as an intensifier. So let's see another thing here in this sentence. We say, we not only have good products, but our customer support is also way ahead of the competition. So when you are talking about your company's strengths and abilities and achievements, or your own strengths, abilities, and achievements, we usually use intensifiers. But way, the intensifier that we talked about just now, is quite informal, okay? So it's not always adequate to use it in a formal environment. Some other ways of intensifying adjectives, more intensely, you can say extremely, okay? So you can say, she was extremely helpful, or our company was extremely helpful in that project. Or another one is, but this one is even more intense than extremely. So exceptionally helpful, when you want to say like that company or that employee was exceptionally helpful. So you don't have to use very all the time. You can use other words instead. Now we're going to have a look at another sentence from that class very quickly, just to remember some points. So I'll speak to Dawes. He's the R&D manager, to check if he's got anything for us. So when you want to volunteer to do something, you use I'll, okay? So if you hear someone saying, can somebody help me with this door? Can somebody hold the door for me? You can say, I'll help. Okay, it's a more common way of volunteering than I can help. But both are correct, okay? So you can say, I can help or I'll help, because I'll has that spontaneous feel, okay? So we usually use will, the future will, with more spontaneous decisions. So I'll speak to DAWs. You're volunteering to speak to DAWs. And we have the structure have got here again, which is the same as have in the present. So if you want to say you have something to do, I've got to study. You are saying, you are talking about an obligation or a necessity. And when you want to talk about ownership of something, you can say, I've got 2 chairs available. So I have 2 chairs for sale or available for somebody else to take in the office, for example. I've got 2 chairs. So notice here that when you are talking about an activity that you've got to do, that you have to do, it's I've got to study. And when it's talking about ownership, I've got 2 chairs. I've got chairs available. But remember that this is extremely colloquial and informal, okay? But it's the same thing as have. So in a more formal environment, you would say, I have to study. The meaning is the same, but I've got is more colloquial and more informal. All right? So that's it for our first 2 sentences. Let's go to the next one. Sentence number 2 is, great. I'll have someone bring it to the meeting room. Please, come with me. So here we have that structure that we saw in our last review. Have someone do something. When you ask someone or pay someone to do something for you. And we can have this structure specifying or not who you ask to do something. Okay, so you can say, we had our partners reorganize the campaign. We had our partners reorganize the campaign. Or if you don't want to say who did it, you just say, we had our campaign reorganized. We had our campaign reorganized. So you have the option of specifying who was asked or paid to do it or not specifying. So we had our partners reorganize the campaign or just we had our campaign reorganized. And pay attention here that when we use the version without, when we use the version without telling the person who did it, we have to use the participle of the verb, okay? The verb is reorganized. And the third form or participle is reorganized, just add the D there. Okay, so we had our partners reorganize the campaign. So when you mention who did it, the verb is in base form. And when you don't mention who did it, it's in third form. We had our campaign reorganized, okay? And let's take a look at another sentence from this class very quickly, which is not much really. I'll have to get back to you on that. So again, we have will here because it's spontaneous. It's not something you planned. You were talking to someone and then the moment you realize that you have to get in contact with them. So I'll have to get back to you on that. And here we have on being used as about. So we could say, I'll get back to you about that or I'll get back to you on that. But on that is much more common. And then we have some other cases when we can use on as about. So when you say information about something, you can also say information on something. Or when you say comment about, I can say she commented on that or she commented about that. Or even more natural is she made a comment on that or about that. Okay, so this is another case when we can use on or about with no change in meaning, okay? And in this class, we have a situation where we interact with the client. So see that she uses great in the beginning of the sentence. So when you are talking to a client, it's important to be enthusiastic, okay? You have to demonstrate that you're happy to be with the client and make the client feel comfortable. Just a little detail about this class. So in this sense, we usually compliment what the customer says or other attitudes like that to make the person feel comfortable. So if you agree with something that a client said, you can say excellent, you can say that's perfect, and these kind of adjectives that have a positive impression, okay? So don't just say if you liked the offer that you got or the decision that was made, don't just say, oh, okay, that's nice. You can say that's excellent, that's perfect, thank you, okay? So try to make your vocabulary dynamic in that sense. Very well. So that's it for the sentences from this class. Let's go to sentences from our next class. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure. So let's take a look at the pronunciation here again. I wanted, here, see that we say the E, okay? So when a word, the base form of the verb ends with T or D, we say the E in the end of the word, okay? So wanted, recommended. When we don't have the ending of the word with T or D, we usually don't say that E, okay? So pay attention to that. So let's read the sentence again. I wanted to talk to you briefly about your schedule. As you know, we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure. So schedule, we have two different pronunciations of schedule. In British English, they say schedule. In American English, schedule. And we're on track to become market leaders in our sector, and that comes with a lot of pressure. So in pressure. And the British version of schedule, we have a kind of CH or X sound. So pressure, schedule. So don't be scared to make that sound. Pressure, schedule. Okay. And then we have an interesting expression here that is on track. So when you are on track with something, it means that you are keeping up, you are maintaining things according to plan, right? So we're on track, we're doing what we had planned from the beginning. So we can use that in a positive way. For example, we are right on track. It means we are exactly the way we planned, we are exactly in the doing things the way that we were supposed to. Or you can say it in a negative way. I think we lost track of our demands, for example. I think we lost track of our demands. It means you're not keeping up, you're not aware exactly of where you are according to what you had planned previously. And another thing here is keep up with. This expression has more to do with the time, okay? So you planned to do something at a certain time and the team is doing it in the correct time, and you can say, I'm having trouble keeping up with the team. So the team is doing something a little quicker maybe than what you can. You can say, I'm having trouble keeping up. It means you're not with them exactly in the same time that they're doing things. And you can say it positively as well. You can say, oh, it's really easy keeping up with you guys. I think we're in the same rhythm, okay? So it's a useful expression, keep up with and stay on track or be on track. Okay, so you can tell people to stay on track, or you can tell people to keep up with the project or with the demands and things like that. And another interesting thing in this sentence is the adjective challenging. So when we have adjectives that end in ing, it usually means that something causes that. So you can say, this project is challenging. It's because it causes in you a feeling of being challenged. Okay. So we can turn other adjectives into this kind of word. For example, we have those adjectives that you guys already know, like interesting, amazing. So it's because they cause that feeling in someone. So interesting means it causes interest. Amazing means it causes amazement. Okay. So keeping up with or keep up with and challenging are also in this class, in the sentence, right. Keeping up with our production schedule has been very challenging. So keeping up with the correct time that was planned has been very challenging, has been causing people to feel challenged. Okay, let's move on to our sentences from the next class. I'm going to put both of them here already. So the first one, at my previous job, we would make action plans every month. It was a very common practice. Should I make one? So let's see again the pronunciation. At my previous job, so just say previous, not previous, previous job, we would make action plans every month. It was a very common practice. Should I make one? So let's talk about that first sentence first. So here we have would to talk about something that happened repeatedly in the past, in the sense of a habit or just something that was repetitive in a time before now. So at my previous job, we would make action plans every month. It was part of our routine. It was a habit. We use would with that sense a lot. So when I was in your sector, I would always chat with everyone. So when you worked in a different place, it was a habit to talk with everybody. You had a habit of chatting with people. You got along with everybody. So you use would in that sense, okay? We also use would in a different situation, which is talking about the future from the point of view of the past. Do you think that's confusing? This is especially when you talk about something that you wish. So you can say, he wished in the past we would do things differently. So in the past, he had a view of the future. So do you guys get it? A point of view of the future from the past. He wished we would do things differently. So here would is kind of like will, but it's not exactly the same because I'm talking about my point of view or somebody's point of view in a previous time, okay? So that's why we say it's a point of view of the future from the past. It's not my point of view of the future now, or somebody's point of view of the future now, but a point of view from the past, okay? And then, of course, we have should. We use should to ask for advice or to give advice. That's why he says, should I make one? Should I make one? He's asking the person for an orientation or for advice. And when the person answers, the person will say, you should make one because you are giving advice, okay? And then we have can. In the next sentence, let me just write it here so you guys can remember. So should is good for advice and suggestions. So now let's talk about the next sentence. Can you manage to meet more clients per week? So you guys already know can, you've seen it a lot. But we have an interesting thing about the pronunciation of can and can't. So can and can't in the middle of the sentence usually have similar pronunciation, especially when we are starting to get used to listening every day to sentences in English. But an interesting thing that helps you to know which one is in the sentence is that can is an unstressed word in the middle of the sentence, and can't is stressed. What does that mean? Can't is stressed. And it has a glottal stop at the T. So we say can't. You know when you say uh-oh, for example, that's a glottal stop. Uh-oh, when you stop your voice from coming out. So that's what we have here in can't. So you can say, I can help. Since can is an unstressed word, we stress the verb after it. I can help. See how can becomes short? I can help. And can't is stressed. So you stress can't more than the next verb. So I can't help. I can't help. Okay? Okay, so can is unstressed. So it's a short sound. I can help. I can help. Can help. And then the can't is stressed. I can't help. Okay? So this is just some extra tips beyond what Talita already taught you guys, but it really helps, okay? So remember, when it's just can, the next verb will be stressed, and when it's can't will be stressed in the sentence, okay? So in this question, for example, can you manage? See, no stress in can. Can you manage to meet more clients per week? If it was can't, it would be, can't you manage to meet more clients per week? So that stress is subtle, but will help you know when each one is being used, okay? So that's it for the sentences from this class. Let's go to our next one. Our next sentence is right there. That's great. I was sent here to make sure you have everything you need for your first day here. Do you have accommodation? So again, we have that's great. If you want to express more enthusiasm, you can say that's excellent, that's perfect. I was sent here to make sure, to make certain, you have everything you need for your first day here. Do you have accommodation? So let's see the pronunciation. Accommodation. Do you have accommodation? So here we have an interesting structure, which is I was sent. This is what we call passive voice, which means you are focusing on what happened and not who did that, okay? So if I say I was sent, it means that somebody sent me, but I'm not mentioning that somebody. I'm just focusing on the fact that I was sent here, and who sent me doesn't really matter. So if it wasn't in passive voice, you could say my manager sent me. Okay, that's not passive because we have my manager. When we remove the manager, we have passive voice, just I was sent. For example, you can say the manufacturer was notified. You don't have to say who notified the manufacturer. You are just focusing on the fact that they were notified. Okay, so the manufacturer was notified. And this structure is really simple. We just use was and then the participle of the verb. So, for example, she was told, somebody told her to leave. That's the focus of the sentence. I don't have to say who told her, but she was told. And that's it. Okay. And also, let's see some pronunciations of different words ending with tion, okay? That T-I-O-N. So, information, notification, organization, organization, okay? So, practice with me if you can. Information, notification, organization, okay? It's really simple, but some might have some difficulty with it. And the other sentence from this same class, let's take a look at it really quickly. Here it is. So am I. I'm sorry that this meeting had to be arranged on such short notice. So here, let's focus on that interesting so am I in the beginning. So it's the same way as saying me too, but we can adapt it to any sentence. So for example, if you say she missed the meeting, you are commenting in the middle of a conversation. She missed the meeting. See, we have a sentence in the past. She missed the meeting. If you want to say me too using that structure with so, it would be so did I. So did I. Or so did Mr. James. So she missed the meeting. And then if you want to say me too, so did I, if you want to talk about Mr. James, so did Mr. James. So you use so and then the auxiliary or the modal. So if someone says, Miss James can give us some new ideas, you can say, so can Mr. Roberts. Because I have can in the original sentence, the answer with this structure is going to be, so can Mr. Roberts, or so can I, or so can we, for example. Okay, so just so, and then the auxiliary or the modal according to the previous sentence, and then who you're referring to. So can Mr. James. Mr. James também pode. So can I. Eu também posso. So can we. Nós também podemos. So that was our last sentence from this review class. We will have two more review classes this week. And remember, you can send your questions in the comments. All right? So take care. See you next class. Bye-bye.